ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 1 एंटाइटल द एडवेंट ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्णा इंट्रोडक्शन टेक्स्ट 22।
पूरेव पुंसा वदृतो धराज्वरो भवाद्भिरांशे यदुषा पजान्यताम् स यावदूर्व्याभरमीश्वरेश्वरा स्वकालशक्त्या शपयांश्चरेद्भुवि।
Translation: Lord Brahma informed the demigods, "Before we submitted our petition to the Lord, He was already aware of the distress on earth. Consequently, for as long as the Lord moves on earth to diminish its burden by His own potency in the form of time, all of you, demigods, should appear through plenary portions as sons and grandsons in the family of the Yadus." Purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As stated in the Brahma Samhita 5.39,
रामादि मूर्ति सकला नियमेन तिस्तान नाना अवतार मकरोद भुवनेश किंतु कृष्णा स्वयं समभवत् परमपमान्यो गोविंदमादि पुरुषां तमहं भजामि।
आई द सुप्रीम पर्सनलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड गोविंद हु इज ऑलवेज सिचुएटेड इन वेरियस इनकार्नेशंस सच एज रामा नरसिंह एंड मेनी सब इनकार्नेशंस एज वेल बट हु इज द ओरिजिनल पर्सनलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड नोन एज कृष्णा and who incarnates personally also. In this verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the words Pureva Pumsa Drito Dharajwara. The word Pumsa refers to Krishna, who was already aware of how the whole world was suffering because of increase of demons. Without reference to the supreme power of the personality of Godhead, demons assert themselves to be independent kings and presidents, and thus create a disturbance by increasing their military power. When such disturbances are very prominent, Krishna appears. At present also, various demonic states all over the world are increasing their military power in many ways. And the whole situation has become distressful. Therefore, Krishna has appeared by His name in the Hare Krishna moment, which will certainly diminish the burden of the world. Philosophers, religionists, and people in general must take to this moment very seriously, for man-made plans and devices will not help bring peace on earth. The transcendental sound, Hare Krishna, is non-different from the person Krishna. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Bhinna Bhinnatvam Nama Namino Padma Puran. There is no difference between the sound Hare Krishna and Krishna the person. We will also read verse 23.
Vasudeve Griha Sakshat Bhagavan Purusha Paraha Janishyate tat priyartham sambhavantu surashriya.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna, who has full potency, who personally appears as a son of Vasudev. Therefore, all the wives of the demigods should also appear in order to satisfy him. In the Bhagavad Gita 4.9, the Lord says, Tektva deham punarjanmam neiti mameti. After giving up the material body, the devotee of the Lord returns home, back to Godhead. This means that the devotee is first transferred to the particular universe where the Lord is at that time staying to exhibit His pastimes. There are innumerable universes and the Lord is appearing in one of these universes at every moment. Therefore, His pastimes are called Nitya Leela, eternal pastimes. The Lord's appearance as a child in the house of Devaki takes place continuously in one universe after another. Therefore, the devotee is first transferred to that particular universe where the pastimes of the Lord are current. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, even if a devotee does not complete the course of devotional service, he enjoys the happiness of the heavenly planets, where the most pious people dwell, and then takes birth in the house of a Suchi or Shriman, a pious Brahmana or a wealthy Vaishya. Suchinam Shrimatam Gehe Yoga Brishto Bijayate. Thus, a pure devotee, even if unable to execute devotional service completely, is transferred to the upper planetary system where pious people reside. From there, if his devotional service is complete, such a devotee is transferred to the place where the Lord's pastimes are going on. Herein it is said, Sambhavantu Surashriya. Surastri, the women of the heavenly planets, were thus ordered to appear in the Yadu dynasty in Vrindavan to enrich the pastimes of Lord Krishna. These Surastri, when further trained to live with Krishna, would be transferred to the original Golok Vrindavan. During the Lord Krishna's pastimes within this world, the Surastri were to appear in different ways, in different families, to give pleasure to the Lord, just so that they would be fully trained before going to the eternal Golok Vrindavan. With the association of Lord Krishna, either at Dwarakapuri, Mathurapuri or Vrindavan, they would certainly return home back to Godhead. Among the Surastri, the women of the heavenly planets, there are many devotees, such as the mother of Upendra incarnation of Krishna. It was such devoted women who were called for in this connection. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya. Hare Krishna. Before speaking on this most holy subject of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, I would like to take blessings from all the devotees assembled here, especially the senior devotees, so I can speak something for the glorification of the Lord. These two verses which we were seeing here indicate some special themes which we will take up. The first thing that these verse speaks about is about awareness of the Lord. Krishna actually knows everything even before we express it. The closest person to our heart is not somebody who is sitting next to us, or not somebody whom we are affectionate to, but rather is the Paramatma who is sitting within our own hearts, within the core of our own hearts. Every thought, before even reaching our minds, before even reaching our mouths, has to have the sanction of the Lord, who is the Paramatma within the heart. Therefore, the awareness of the Lord is infinite. And Krishna, here in this particular verse, is referred to as Pumsa. He is a person who is already aware of everything in this world. Even before Brahmaji expressed to Krishna, saying that we are in difficulty, Krishna already knew it. Therefore, Brahmaji, it is almost like a surprise to him. He is telling the demigods that Krishna already knew our problem. So this is kind of a consolation to the demigods that, don't worry, it's not that your plea is being unprocessed, but already the processing is going on. Krishna has already had a plan for you. And therefore, he is requesting the demigods to depend on the Lord. And of course, the next thing that immediately comes in picture is the concern of the Lord. Along with the awareness is also the concern. It's not that the Lord is aware and he is in his own world. You know, it happens many times in this world that people, just like somebody sent me a mail yesterday about, very interesting, you just see how Krishna is the best boss. You know, they were mentioning that how when the Taj incident occurred a couple of years back, what the owner of the Taj, the Tatas, they actually did for their employees, spent millions of rupees actually serving every employee in the company. This shows how an employer, you know, can have the right feelings for the distress that an employee is undergoing. But here is Krishna, even before somebody expresses to him, and even before a demigod comes and, you know, brings up a plea, Krishna is already aware of it. And in fact, he's already made a plan to help the devotees come out of the distress. This is the nature of the Lord. So there's not even any need for expressing. Probably Brahmaji, after he expressed it, he must have felt bad, because Krishna already knew it, right? And therefore, Krishna is called as Swayam Bhavat. That means he is not just a plenary portion, but is rather the full incarnation of the Lord. He is Bhagavan personally. So, of course, there's another aspect to it where we will see these two verses in four steps. First is we will see the greatness of the Lord. Then we will see how the Lord appears in our lives through having faith in a devotee. And faith in a devotee leads to the Krishna consciousness movement. And Krishna consciousness movement leads us to the transcendental pastimes of the Lord in the spiritual world. So the first aspect, the greatness of the Lord, Prabhupada at one in the nectar of devotion, he mentions this. There is one statement in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a prayer of Brahmaji, which he says should be the guiding statement for all the devotees. It should be the guiding force. The Brahmaji's prayers, Tattenu Kampam Sushimikshamano, Bhunjane Vatma Kratam Vipakam. So here, Prabhupada is saying that whenever any impediment arises in a devotee's life, the first thing that the devotee does is simply thinks of Krishna and expects his mercy. Prabhupada says, this is the only solace for a devotee. Very interesting how it may seem disconnected, that how is just praying to Krishna going to give solace to my heart? But yes, that's the only solution. And in fact, this question always comes in our minds, that if Krishna is there to give solace and protection, why is the devotee suffering? Why do devotees sometimes suffer? Of course, the understanding to that is, again, Prabhupada writes a letter to Satsuru Maharaj. And in the letter, he gives an example, an analogy, which shows what happens to a devotee in a devotee's life, which apparently appears as a suffering. He gives an example of a fan. When a fan is rotating and you switch it off, for some time, as long as the inertia, the moment remains, the fan continues rotating. It still continues rotating. And after some time, it stops. So similarly, in a devotee's life, when Krishna, when a devotee takes shelter of the Lord, as soon as he takes shelter of the Lord, the switch is put off. But some residual karma remains, which gets purified, which is like the rotating of the fan. And Krishna says, the understanding is that as long as the devotee is taking shelter of the Lord through the process of chanting the holy names, through the process of following the regulative principles, till then the switch is off. But as soon as the tendency is there, this is what Tatastha Shakti means. This is the marginal energy. The tendency is there that sometimes on the shore, sometimes jumps into the water. So if the devotee, taking shelter of the Lord, thinks that let me just try one more dip in the water, and he jumps in, it's like switching on the fan again. So as soon as the devotee thinks of plunging into Maya, the switch is on. So then there's a new cycle of karmic reactions. But as long as the devotee agrees, saying that, no, I'll remain on the shore, which is the safe zone, till then, the allurements of Maya don't remain to the devotee. Of course, the dependency is not on one's personal strength, but again, it's on the Lord only. Just like some days back, when Govindpuru was giving a Bhagavatam class, he was making a very interesting comparison of Krishna Leela, how Krishna is dynamic, and at the same time, he is a compilation of many controversies or many contradictions. So Krishna's life, if you see, the personality of Krishna, the personality of Ram, are actually full of opposites. To reconcile opposites is difficult in this world because we can't conceive it. Just like many stories we hear of Srila Prabhupada, approving many devotees' ideas. Somebody said Krishna is black. The difference between Krishna and Balaram is Krishna is black and Balaram is white. He said yes. The difference between Krishna and Balaram is that only Krishna enjoys with the Srimati Radharani. That's also yes. So basically, Prabhupada said there are many differences. So in the spiritual life, in spiritual world, there are multiple truths. And the same is in Krishna's life also. Krishna is many faceted. Just imagine if Krishna was beautiful but not strong, then how he would be? It'd be difficult for him to help us. So therefore, Krishna is always multifaceted. And his multifaceted aspect of Krishna is actually the hope for us. His body is delicate to touch, but at the same time, for those who are against him, that same body is as strong as a Vajra, as strong as a thunderbolt, right? When Krishna killed the Keshi demon, he put his hand in his mouth. But as soon as he put his hand into his mouth, his hand became as hot iron rod. So his hand didn't remain the same soft, buttery hands of Krishna, but it became rock hard, steel hard, and it became hot also. The delicacy of Krishna's hands is in the coolness. The hands of Krishna gives coolness. But in the mouth of Keshi, they bring heat. Again, it's opposite. The strength of Krishna's feet, it is explained in the Ramayana that the lotus feet of the Lord In fact, the whole body of the Lord is so delicate. It is explained that if a leaf would fall on the body of the Lord, that part of the body of the Lord would turn red because it's so soft. Just imagine the same soft body of the Lord is dancing, the same soft legs of the Lord dancing on the head of Kaliya. And on the head of Kaliya, he doesn't experience the softness, but he experiences practically thunderbolts on his head, right? So this is again the opposite. Therefore, Brahmaji, when he prays to Krishna, he says, your body and my body are different. He explains, he prays like this after an experience, the Brahma Vimon Leela. His conclusion is that the body of Krishna and my own body are totally different. Because it is different, Krishna is the way he is, right? And therefore, Brahmaji says, I cannot estimate the potency of your body. When Krishna was just 6 years old, he danced on the hoods of Kaliya and crushed Kaliya. And it is explained, when Krishna jumped into the lake, into the river to fight against Kaliya, as soon as he jumped, they explained, it felt as if a huge, heavy object fell. The same Krishna, Yashoda, lifts in her hips and she is walking all over Vrindavan. The same Krishna, the boys are lifting on their shoulders and taking him around. The same Krishna who is defeated by Sridhama in a wrestling match, when he jumps into the water of the lake where Kaliya is, it seems as if a heavy object has fallen in and all the water of the lake has come out. How is it possible? Again, this is Krishna. This is the greatness of the Lord. That shows how, because Krishna is so great and so powerful, therefore he can give us shelter, right? And Krishna's body is not made up of matter. If it was, then age would slacken his strength. As Krishna's age increased, his strength would never diminish. He remained as strong. When he was speaking the Bhagavad Gita, he was a 125-year-old man. 125 years is too much, right? And if somebody was 125 years old, he would probably not even be able to move around. But Krishna was Navayavanamcha, 16-year-old, in his appearance, in his looks, in his strength. And therefore, Prabhupada, in one purport in the Bhagavad Gita, he says that no one can surpass Krishna in cheating, no one can surpass him in splendor, no one can surpass him in victory, no one can surpass him in enterprise, and no one can surpass him in strength. That is the hope for us. Because no one can surpass Krishna, therefore, there is hope. All of us, at least myself, for sure, we are weak in many ways. The strongest human being is a plaything in the hands of Maya. It's just an insignificant thing in the hand of Maya. And all of us are trying to control our minds against lust, against anger, against envy. But we understand how difficult it is to control, how difficult it is to exercise our strength. Therefore, especially in Kali Yuga, you find always that the number of devotees is outnumbered by the number of demonic personalities. And you'll always find that so many times it seems that the devotees are defeated. It seems that they have better arguments, they have more conviction in their own analysis of life, they have more conviction in their lifestyle. Everything seems to be so different. And we seem to be outnumbered. But the fact is that Srila Prabhupada says that there are two kinds of strengths. There is one strength is called the Daiva, and the second strength is called the Purushakar. That means, Daiva means defining strength in transcendence. And Purushakar means finding strength in one's own organizational abilities, one's own intelligence, and one's own power. These are two different strengths. And Prabhupada says that one who finds strength in transcendence, transcendental power is always superior to the power of a materialist. Therefore, we should fight our enemy to the best of our abilities, but the best fight happens when you take shelter of some other power, the transcendental power, that is the strength of Krishna. And therefore, understanding the fact that Krishna is a source of both our inclinations as well as our disinclinations, there are many times we find ourselves disinclined to practice devotional life. We should understand that Krishna is the source of that also. We can't even be disinclined to practice Krishna, spiritual life unless Krishna sanctions it. So when Krishna is the source of everything, why not depend on the same Krishna for our strength also, right? And therefore, Yamunacharya is a poem that he composed called Stotra Ratna. And in this poem, Yamunacharya glorifies the Lord. And he says how when somebody glorifies the Lord, everybody is equal. He says, I am proud. You know, I may seem like an arrogant, proud man, you know, talking about my own glory. He says, but I am proud. Why I am proud? Because when one is drowning in an ocean, if a small speck of dust, you know, enters in the depth of the ocean, or a huge mountain enters in the depth of the ocean, what is the difference? He says, when somebody glorifies the Lord, even if he is like a small speck of dust, or even if he is like a mountain, when they're doing the same activity of glorification of the Lord, they're equal. So therefore, Yamunacharya says, I am proud to be great because I am glorifying the Lord. He says, I am glorifying the Lord till exhaustion. So that's his pride. So when we take shelter of glorification of the Lord and attachment, then there is great strength. But sometimes it seems that attachment leads to weakness also. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one time, you know, one professor, headmaster of a school, he came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and he told him that I want to take shelter, I want to take initiation from you. So Bhaktisiddhanta, he said, no problem, you can take initiation, go and shave your beard and mustache and come back, I'll initiate you. So this headmaster, he started arguing with Bhaktisiddhanta, how it doesn't make any difference, I'll keep my beard or don't keep my beard. He was arguing. And he never came back, actually, to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But at a later point, what happened? His beard got stuck on the bicycle, wheel of a bicycle. And then, eventually, he had to shave it off. So therefore, if attachment is there, there are two things. There is a pain of discipline and there's a pain of regret. If you don't want to undergo the pain of discipline, then you have to undergo the pain of regret. Just like this man, you know. Therefore, one time I was speaking to the children in the school, we were mentioning this point that how in our life, discipline is required at every stage. In fact, discipline is so important that even in ordinary life, ordinary dealings, you find this discipline very relevant. Just like to fly a kite, you need a thread. As long as the thread is there, the kite flies. If you want to release an arrow from a bow, the string has to be taut. It has to be tied very tightly. If the string is loose and you leave an arrow, it will fall at your feet only, practically. So the more tight the string is, the longer or the faster the arrow travels. And similarly, football. Children who play football, you know, unless there is air in the ball, how much ever hard you kick it, the ball will not go even little distance. But if there is air completely in the ball, it's solid, you can kick from one goal to another goal, right? So similarly, discipline is required. Sometimes discipline is given by Krishna in a way which forces you to detach yourself, or sometimes discipline is taken on a voluntary basis. So it depends on which way we do it. But for us to be disciplined, we need an experience of shelter of the devotees of the Lord. And therefore, the concept of faith comes in. Unless you have faith in the devotee, you can't take shelter. You know, just like in the Vishnu Sahasranam, you know, there is a verse which says, Vyasam Vashishtanaptaram Shakte Pautram Kalmasham Parasharatmatam Vanje Sukatatam Taponidim. Very interesting, which says, why we should have faith in these, you know, exalted personalities? Why should we have faith in Vyasdev, who's no more there, you know, at least we can't see him? Why we should have faith in Shukadeva Goswami? Why we should have faith in all these personalities? Very interesting. If we just analyze this verse, it gives us that concept. This verse actually gives the whole genealogy of Vyasadeva's life. It says, Vyasam Vashishtanuttaram. It says, Vashishta is the great grandfather of Vyasadeva. And then the next verse says, Shakte Pautram Akalmasham. It says, Shakte is the grandfather of Vyasadeva. And then, Parasharatmajam Vanje. It says, Parashar is the father of Vyasadeva. And Shukatatam Taponidim. Who is Shukadeva Goswami? The son of Vyasadeva. So if you analyze all these five personalities, analyze Vashishta, analyze Parashar, analyze Shukadeva Goswami, analyze Vyasadeva himself, you find all these personalities, they have not lived one moment for themselves. Not one moment of their life have they lived for themselves. Shukadeva Goswami, right from his birth, he was living a life for the sake of others. He says a human being or any personality who lives a selfless life, not one moment for themselves, that person is a person who you can have faith on, right? Therefore, when we have faith on these exalted personalities, we can be rest assured that they will not let us down. And therefore, little association with these personalities can lead to great results. Just like Narad Muni, one time he went to a village. And in that village, he met one man who was a great sinner. He never committed any sin. Always sinning. So Narad Muni was thinking, how should I preach to him? How should I, teach him something valuable? So he told him something very interesting. He told him, this is a new preaching technique of Narad Muni. He told him, when you die and you go back to the king, to Yamaraj, you ask Yamaraj, what is the value of one moment association with a devotee? So this person said, what is the harm in remembering this? He remembered it. And he actually died after some time, and he went to the abode of Yamaraj. And he asked Yamaraj, what is the value of one moment of association with a devotee? Yamaraj said, I don't know the answer. Let's go to Brahmaji. He took him to Brahma. And then they had a conference. Brahmaji said, I don't know the answer. Let us go to Shiva. They took him to Shiva. And then Shiva, he said, I don't know the answer. Let's go to Vishnu. They took him to Vaikuntha Loka. And in Vaikuntha, Vishnu told him, he told Yamaraj and Brahmaji and Shiva, you all go back. And this led this man to remain here. So the association of one moment of a devotee led one person who is totally incapable to Vaikuntha planet. That is the value of association of a devotee, right? So therefore, when we have faith in somebody who is exalted and who are selfless, that is our hope. Just like, in the 1970s, there was a bus party called the Radha Damodar Bus Party. This is very, very famous, very, very inspiring. Myself, at least, I was very inspired when I was reading the stories of this bus party. There was one leader in this bus party named Vishnujan Swami. And the way they would make devotees is totally unbelievable. In 1 hour, somebody would just shave up and join the temple practically. 1 hour of preaching. Our 1 hour of years of seminars doesn't make one person get convinced to chant 16 rounds. And here is some devotees, 1 hour preaching, ready to give their lives to Krishna. So here, one time, Vishnu Swami was talking to one devotee, or inspiring him to join the bus party. So the devotee asked him, he wanted him to be the leader of the bus party. So they were having a, bath in the bathroom together, in the Banochar ashram. And this person said, what is my role in the bus party? What should I do? What does it mean to be a leader of the party? He said, the leader of a party means to be like spider. So the devotee was thinking, what is the meaning of spider? Very interesting understanding of what preaching is. He said that when we go out on the trip, what we'll be doing is that we'll be chanting the holy names. We'll be doing Sankirtan. And he said, Sankirtan, when you are actually chanting, doing Sankirtan, it is like spreading a spider web. Everybody is hooked to the spider web. And he said, your duty as a spider is to go around and find the person who is affected, who is caught in the web of the Sankirtan. He said, catch that person and take him out. And, make him join the temple. He said, that is the role of a preacher. Therefore, the preacher, the devotees of the Lord, what are they doing? They're just like spiders, going around, trying to find the one who's caught a little bit of the taste of Krishna consciousness. The moment he is caught, he knows that there is hope. And this devotee goes and gives him, the spider, of course, it spits on the insect, but the devotee goes and gives him a lot of nectar and then brings him back to Krishna. That's the role of the devotee, to be a spider. And therefore, when we allow a devotee to intervene in our life, that devotee can actually transform our life. Just like there's a story of Janmajay, the son of Parikshit Maharaj. One time, Vyasampayana Rishi, he came to Janmajay and he told him that, I want to tell you some very nice things. So Janmajay was not interested in hearing. He said, I don't have time. I have so many things to do. I have so many duties to perform. So Vyasampayana said, okay, no problem. Just give me a chance to speak one verse, one shloka. I'll speak this shloka and go away. So Janmajay said, what's the problem? Hearing one shloka. He can't change my life in one shloka, definitely. So let me just hear one shloka and he'll leave me. Many times it happens that many devotees, go and speak to somebody. He said, just give me one moment. And that one moment in the association of a devotee can actually transform lives. So Janmajay, he said, okay, no problem, speak. So then Vaisampayana Rishi, he spoke a very interesting verse. Of course, what he spoke in essence was that he spoke about two concepts in this verse. He said, Vanabhangum and Gograhanam. And these two concepts he introduced in this verse. And then he finished the verse and he was walking away. And when this Janmajaya, he heard this verse, he didn't understand anything what this Vyasa Maharishi Rishi said. He said, wait a minute, what do you meant by this verse? You know, what is the meaning of Gograhanam? What is the meaning of Vanabhangam? You tell me. So he said, no, I can't tell you so fast. You know, it requires a big explanation. He said, no problem. First you tell me what is the meaning of these two things. So then the explanation that is given, Vanabhangam, he says, basically what Vyasa Maharishi Rishi said is that there are two greatest fools in this world. One is Ravan and the other is Duryodhan. He said, Ravan, in spite of seeing how one insignificant monkey in the army of Ram came and destroyed the whole of Lanka and went away, his mind didn't change. And he said, Duryodhan, one Arjun from the whole army of the Pandavas destroyed all of them practically during the Gograhanam, the pastime of stealing of the cows from Virat Desh. So these two are the greatest fools. He said that and walked away. Then Janmajaya, he said, wait a minute. Who is Ravan? Who is Ram? Who is Arjun and who are Kauravas? Why were they fighting? So then Vaishambhani said, see, I explained this in one verse, but if you want answer to this, then I have to explain in many verses. So then Janmajaya said, no, you tell me, I want to hear. So then Vaishambhani Rishi spoke the entire Mahabharat. 125,000 verses. And Janmajaya was sitting and hearing, you know, patiently. And then after the whole explanation of the Mahabharat, Vaishambhani Rishi asked him a question. He said, now I explained the whole Mahabharat to you. Now you tell me, I've explained four things in the Mahabharat. What are the four things? Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. I explained the four things. Now you tell me, what is your understanding of all these, out of all these four things, which is the most important one? You tell me. And then Janmajaya, he started thinking. He said, out of these four things, none of these four things are attractive to me. So Vaishambhani Rishi was shocked. He said, what is the use of me explaining 125,000 verses? He didn't understand anything. And then Janmajaya said, he said, what is attractive to me is hearing from you, Shravanam. He said, I can go on hearing for my whole life. You continue speaking. So this is what happens when you hear from a devotee one time. So one moment of association of a devotee's life can lead where this person was, Janmajaya, he was saying, I'm not ready to hear one shloka. And he has heard 125,000 shlokas and he's saying, tell me more. So that means what affection or what transformation his life led to. Therefore, there is a flowchart in the life of somebody who is being in touch with devotees, coming in touch with the devotee. The flowchart is that it always starts with faithlessness. A person is faithless. He has hundreds of questions in his mind. Like a few days back, I was speaking to one person. And this person is a millionaire. Under him, practically 15,000 people work. You know, he's that kind of a person. And he was telling me that I want to understand God, but I have so many doubts. I told him, tell me what your doubts are. Then for almost 1.5 hours, he was telling me his doubts only. He said, you know what is the number of monkeys in the army of Lord Ram? I said, how many? He said, some number. And he said, you know what is the meaning of this number? He said, that means practically the whole of Bombay will be covered only with monkeys. He said, I can't believe it. How it is possible? Then he said, do you know how many people were there in the battlefield of Kurukshetra? So this many people. He said, this many people don't exist even in the whole world today. How is it possible all of them died in the war? I don't believe in Mahabharat. So like that, he kept on telling me hundreds of things of how I don't have faith in this, I don't have faith in that, I don't have it. Then I told him, you'll do one thing for me? He said, yes, no problem. I gave him a CD. I said, you hear this CD and then we'll discuss. And I gave him a book. He said, you read this book and then we'll discuss. He said, this much faith I've developed after meeting you, that if I read this book and hear this CD, I will understand something. He took those both and went away. And now he's hearing and reading. And after he hears and reads, we'll sit and discuss. The same thing, you know. First, it starts with faithlessness. So when a person has doubts, there is a lot of faithlessness. And the faithless people have hundreds of questions. So there are two ways a faithless person can become a faithful person. The first way is what material nature does. She puts in calamities. When calamities come in a person's life, the moment calamities come, he starts shivering. You know, he starts trembling. Then he comes to some, you know, he tries to at least take shelter of some person, tries to find out, why is it happening only to me? And fortunately, if that person comes to a devotee, the devotee has answers, gives him the answers. And then when the devotee gives him answers, he takes up spirituality seriously and he starts practicing. So then, just like in this verse, you know, Prabhupada is saying that the first thing that happens to a person who takes up the process of Krishna consciousness is that he undergoes training. Before he goes to the spiritual world, there is training. Similarly, as soon as devotee answers questions and this person becomes spiritually serious, the training process starts. So, you know, before joining the pastimes of the Lord, he joins the training pastimes of the devotees. And the devotee trains him up, right? And he joins the pastime of the devotees. And then there is a test of faith at every stage. There are so many tests going on in a person's life. First is faithlessness, and then there is faith in devotee, then there is a test of that faith. Many stages, the faith is tested constantly. And then, of course, the training program also goes on, just like we have, you know, BT training, VT training, all training is going on. And then, when he is ready to take the test, then there's a final test, the time of death. And when somebody passes that final test, leaves his body, then what happens, Prabhupada says, is that when a devotee who is conscious of Krishna and passes the test and leaves the body, what happens? He joins some pastime of the Lord going on in the material world. There are so many pastimes of the Lord going on in the material world. He goes and enters in one of the pastimes. And again, he's trained there. So there he's trained how to live in the spiritual world, how to act, behave nicely in the spiritual world. And then before he, you know, even in the pastime on the earth, before he leaves, there's test again. Just like Jatayu. Even just before he died, Ram tested him to see if he was really committed or not. Ram doubted him as a devotee. He said, "You're a demon." That was a test of Jatayu. And Jatayu passed the test. And because he passed the test, he was allowed to go back to the spiritual world and serve there. Right? Of course, there are no tests there. Eventually, all the tests happen to make sure that no unqualified person enters in the spiritual world. No person with hacked passwords, no person with, you know, disguise enters into the spiritual world. Confirmed, you know, unless it's confirmation, no entrance. And therefore, we need to take shelter of the devotees of the Lord. And therefore, we need to have confidence in taking shelter of the devotees. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, you know, one time he wrote a letter to the president of the country, president of India, and he said, "You may think I'm a fool, but I am not." He said, "I have the secret to go back to the kingdom of God." Very interesting. What confidence? Somebody might say, what confidence is this? Is Prabhupada arrogant? No. He's just confident in whom? Yesadeva parabhaktir tata deve tata guru. What is his confidence? In his spiritual master. Confidence in the higher authorities. Just like in the Ramayana, when Ram was killing Tataka, he was the first demoness Ram was killing. And Ram, he was hesitating. He put his bow and arrow together, but he was not shooting. He was thinking, "This is a lady. Should I kill? Should I not kill?" The Vishwamitra said, he gave an explanation of what it means to be a lady. You know, he gave, very interesting. He said, "Lady means shyness. This lady has no shyness because she was wearing a garland. You know what the garland made up of? Garland was made up of elephants. The trunk of one elephant tied to the tail of another elephant. Tail of one elephant tied to the trunk of, that was a garland. So how can this person be a lady, you know?" And then Ram got the confidence and he shot and he killed her. But then Ram was repenting. Ram was thinking that, why did I doubt my spiritual master? Very interesting. Ram didn't think, you know, I made a mistake killing a lady. That was not a thought. He was thinking, why did I hesitate for one moment in following the instructions of my spiritual master? You see, the Lord is showing how one should have confidence in the devotee of the Lord. And when somebody has confidence in the devotee of the Lord, he gets entrance into the Hare Krishna movement. And what is Krishna consciousness? What is the Hare Krishna movement? The Hare Krishna movement is nothing but a package to develop relationship with Krishna. A package to develop one's relationship with Krishna. And therefore, what it means to develop a relationship with Krishna? Krishna is not a body which is made up of blood or, you know, the dictionary definition of relationship is relationship being kinship with blood or marriage. And Krishna is having no blood at all in his body because he's spiritual completely. So therefore, if you want to develop a relationship with Krishna, it can't be based on any external bodily concept. But it is a deep spiritual relationship. And because understanding the fact that neither we are the body nor Krishna is the body, right? Both are pure spirits. And when dealings are down on the spiritual level, those dealings are meaningful. And therefore, what is the Hare Krishna movement? The Hare Krishna movement is practice session to develop our relationship with Krishna. We are in an association of devotees, we are in a circle of devotees where we can develop relationship with each other. And the devotees are always around us. And this is what, the great saintly people teach us. You know, who is a great person? A great person is the one who is unmotivated himself and is selflessly serving the others. Therefore, you find that every day in our relationships, you know, when we are practicing divine relationships with each other, unless we focus on the divinity in the relationships, we will not be able to develop true spiritual consciousness. And therefore, every time we interact with each other, every time we interact with other devotees, it is a chance for us to practice what we have to eternally do in the spiritual world, having eternal spiritual relationships. So here, what we do is actually a practice for the spiritual world. And therefore, when Prabhupada is saying in this purport that Krishna has appeared in the Hare Krishna movement, which is a fact. Krishna has appeared through the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which is a fact. Just like in San Francisco, how did Jagannath appear? Jagannath Baldev Subhadra. They seemingly appeared out of a shop, shelf of a shop. But have they appeared out of a shelf or shop? No, they have not. They have appeared because they want to be with their devotees. And therefore Krishna appears, right? And what did Prabhupada do? He did a reenactment of the pastime of what happened in Jagannath Puri. Indradyumna Maharaj, he made Vishwakarma, this old man who came as Vishwakarma, carve the statue of Jagannath. And Prabhupada made Shamsundar Prabhu. Shamsundar Prabhu was doing the same role as Vishwakarma in the spiritual world. Can you imagine that? And same thing, Malati Mataji, she got an opportunity to get the deities. You know, she acted as a minister of Indradyumna Maharaj, who went and found how Neelamadav looks and found the person who could carve. So it's actually a reenactment of the pastimes of the spiritual world in one sense. So therefore, when we say Krishna is appearing this in the Hare Krishna movement, it's a true fact. And what is the basis of the Hare Krishna movement? The basis of the Hare Krishna movement is in the merciful nature of the Lord and in the glorification of the Lord. And the Lord is so merciful that if anyone glorifies Him, anyone takes shelter of Him, He is eternally there to serve Him. Just like Parashar Bhatt was asked by one devotee this question. He said, Lord Ram, when he was, in the shore of the Indian Ocean, he waited for 3 days and then he was going to shoot an arrow on the ocean and destroy the ocean, dry up the ocean. He said, why did the Lord not do it? Just because this ocean glorified Him? Was that the reason? That's it? So then Parashar Bhatt gave an example, very interesting. He said, there was a very rich man who was bald, and a beggar came to his house, and the beggar, he glorified him. He said, what beautiful hair you have. This rich man, he became very happy. He gave him a bag of rice. Thank you very much. This is a rice for you. And the beggar was very happy and he went away. He walked away. And on the way, he met one man. And that man asked the beggar, how did you get this bag of rice? He said, I glorified that bald man. I got a bag of rice. So this man went to that owner and he said, this beggar is ungrateful. He's saying, you're a bald man. So this bald man, he got very angry. He started running after the beggar. He said, give me my bag of rice back. And this beggar, he understood, what he's coming for. This beggar said, oh my Lord, why are you running? Your beautiful hair are flying. He had no hair. He was a bald man. And this beggar is saying, your beautiful hair are flying. And the moment this bald man heard this, he became very happy. He gave him another bag of rice. He said, thank you very much. And he went away. So Parashar Bhatt said, if a ordinary man of this world becomes happy by glorification, why will the Lord not become happy and merciful on His devotees? Therefore, Parashar Bhatt said, the best way to glorify the Lord, to attract the mercy of the Lord, is glorify Him. And naturally, you will attract His mercy. And what is the way of glorification of the Lord? The way of glorification of the Lord is through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Therefore, when we say that Krishna has appeared in His holy name, it is not that way. It is just to convince somebody to chant Hare Krishna. It is a fact. Krishna has appeared in the holy name. And therefore, it is explained that a supari tree, for it to bear, fruits, it takes 16 years. 16 years to bear fruits. And after 16 years, you get fruits. So if a farmer is ready to wait for 16 years to get fruits, why can't we wait to get the fruit, which is the highest fruit, going back to the spiritual world, for a few years of endeavor, right? And therefore, of course, we don't experience this, but the great acharyas of the Lord always experience great joy in chanting the holy names of the Lord. Therefore, it is explained that the one acharya, I'll just tell you in brief, this is a story of Srivas Thakur, which comes in the Kavikarnapur, Chaitanya Chandradaya. He says, one time, Srivas Thakur, you know, when he was, this story, Srivas Thakur tells Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srivas Thakur was a young boy, 16-year-old boy. He said, till the age of 16, he was a great atheist. Never believed in God, always did the wrong things, never chanted the holy names. But one day, he said, he had a dream. And one saintly man came in his dream and he told him that, I know that you will never listen to my advice, but still I'm giving it to you. He said, in 1 year time from today, you're going to die. Better take life seriously. That day, Srivas Thakur, he got up the next day, he became extremely serious. He said, maybe what he's saying is true. I have to become serious. And from that day onwards, he started becoming serious about his life. And he read the Narad Pancharatra. And in that, he read this verse, which says that, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. And that day, he developed faith. That if I chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, if I chant the holy name, then there is a great chance for me. And from that point onwards, he always chanted the holy names. And after 1 year exactly on that particular day, he was standing in Devanand Pandit's house and hearing the story of Prahlad Maharaj. And as soon as he heard the story of Prahlad Maharaj, after that immediately he fell down from the balcony and he died. But actually he said, somebody caught me below. And he said that day, Narada Shakti entered into me. And from that day, he became totally transformed Srivas Thakur. Of course, we understand from the real understanding that this is not that Narada Shakti entered at some point in Srivas Thakur's life, it was always there. But it's just that it's a pastime to show us how when the holy name enters into somebody's life, a lot of potency and power enters. Therefore, to conclude, the acharyas, they experience the same joy in chanting the holy names that a small child, you know, when a child is playing, what joy does a child experience, a girl or a boy? The same joy that a boy experiences in playing with, you know, balls, playing with football, playing with cricket ball, you know, it's a great joy that children experience. The same joy that a small girl would experience in playing with toys, you know, Barbie doll, whatever dolls. And the same joy a child would experience in running after butterflies, it is explained, it's a Tamil poem which says that the same joy is experienced by an acharya when he chants Keshava, Madhava, Govinda. When he chants the holy name, the same joy is experienced by the great acharyas of the Lord. Therefore, for us to experience the great joy of chanting the holy names, we need to first understand the greatness and awareness of the Lord. And when we understand the greatness and awareness of the Lord, we have faith in the devotee of the Lord. And when we have faith in the devotee of the Lord, we enter into the Hare Krishna movement. And when we enter into the Hare Krishna movement, we get access to shelter of the holy name. And that shelter of the holy name will give us the entrance into the spiritual world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry if I have spoken something beyond my realizations, beyond my understanding. If I made any mistakes, kindly forgive. If there's any questions or comments, quickly you can take. Because I don't think there's any time also anyways. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.